Freeman's Appliance.
I thought we had every chance to win that game. Also, we had a number of times in the game we had opportunities to run away with it, especially early in the game, having that 14-point lead, and they hadn't really moved the ball on our D and starting with that fake punt. I think after that, you know, I feel like he went like 8 of his next 10 or something like that, so that got him back in the game. There at the end, a couple, we want to go in and score on that drive, obviously a touchdown. We ended up getting a field goal. I believe it made it 2 scores, but then they went right down and answered with a field goal. I thought we had a chance to make it a 2-score game. We ended up missing that field goal, and then I think they got a bomb where they went down there right away. They didn't make him really work for it. They got a big chunk, got behind our defense too much today, gave them some easy ones in that way, and we saw what happened then.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time.
She's feeling good. Philadelphia's feeling good. They got a big win down in New Orleans, 15-12. Saquon Barkley looks amazing in that uniform, and he is running hard. He's running like a man possessed right now. He made up for that drop pass on Monday Night Football with a huge run to get the Eagles a lead. But you heard from Kyle Shanahan, he's right. That fake punt flipped the game. Momentum was all on the Niners sideline, and Rams were dead. It's 6:20 left in the first half. They're facing a 4th and 6. They've got nothing cooking, and they run a fake punt. Nobody sets the edge. Ronnie Rivers gets 7 yards, and Stafford ends up going. And Shanahan's right. Stafford ended up going 8 of 10 on that drive for 80 yards. They go on a 16-play, 87-yard drive that nearly took 8 minutes off the clock. And they got back in the game. Now McKivitt's got to make a block. You get the sack fumble before halftime. Niners are up 14-7, and we're all thinking at halftime. I know you're thinking it. I'm thinking it. Every Niner fan out there is thinking it. How the hell is this game only 14-7?
They should have been up so many more.
They should have been up so many points. So then we run 9 snaps in the second half on the offensive side of football. They ran 9 offensive plays in the second half.
Second quarter. They had full control for the whole first quarter, and they ran, whatever, a handful of plays the Rams did. They had -9 passing yards.
Yeah.
He didn't have a completion until, like, his 4th series or whatever it was. And, like, the worst part about it is that there were some big bombs. Like, Tutu made plays. They made a couple of acrobatic plays. One they dropped near the sideline. But you gave him 75 yards on penalties. In the second half, 75 yards on 2 pass plays.
Yep.
And we talk about stretching the field. Those are the kind of plays. And he actually had 2 or 3 that were like airmailed, where he's just stretching the field.
Yep.
Those are the ones where it bugs me that we don't do more of them, because I know they can do more of them. It just feels like they don't dial up those types of plays.
Well, you do it in the first quarter to Brandon Ayuk. You dial up a deep shot. I'm like, wow, look at Purdy. And he had that baby in the air for about 55 yards.
He actually left a lot of air under it.
You get
a really
penalty,
nice pass.
And the whole, that would have been a touchdown.
Yes.
It would have been a touchdown. Ayuk runs a great route. Tre'Davious White is beat, but you force a penalty. That's why I love the deep shots. You force a penalty. Now, the deep shot on the second to last possession on second down. Purdy was looking that way. Ike's running down the seam, wide open.
When you look at the back view of that, though, and I'm not trying to defend him, he missed him. Like, there's no other way around it. But, like, I could see where he thinks the safety's going with him. It's tough to tell the safety depth. I don't know. It's a tough play.
On that play, it wasn't the safety to me. It was Tre'Davious White.
On the left side?
Because Tre'Davious White on the left side, he's looking at him, and Tre'Davious White is like, oh, no, Ayuk's open. So maybe Purdy's thinking like, maybe it's too late. Do I put under? And he doesn't, you know, and that's a tough play. But he is wide open. That changes the game. That changes the conversation for Brandon Ayuk. That changes the conversation this morning. Now we're all talking about what a win for Brock Purdy. Oh, my gosh, he won without the Avengers. Oh, my God, give him all the money. Instead, we're having conversations about special teams, about missed field goals, using a timeout. I mean, it is just unbelievable. The punter.
I mean, I've seen people criticize. I don't even know. Like, criticize the angle of the punt that he kicked. Well, Mustafa just whiffed, and then a bunch of other guys whiffed. I mean,
Adam did say they probably wanted more air under that football. But you give up a 34-yard punt return. You can't do that.
And then they go right at Devondre Campbell.
Right at him. Devondre Campbell, who can't guard. Oh, my God, Devondre Campbell. Shanahan on the special teams.
Today, that fake punt, you know, it's just the momentum in the game. That's where I thought we had a chance to run away with it, not give them any hope. And that gave them a lot of hope, got them back in it. And obviously would have loved to make that field goal. And then every punt return. I didn't really see it. They got to the left on our side. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but those are three big plays in the game.
Huge plays. Let's
Kyren Williams killed them.
Kyren Williams killed them, too.
I don't think we've talked enough, because Stafford had moments in this game, and
Kyren Williams controlled the game.
Tremendous leadership. Kyren, 24 for 89, and that's not going to pop. He was better than those numbers.
Yeah, 3.7, and he started falling forward. You know what I'm saying? There's a running back when, you know, who's at
he had a fourth and one late in that game to put him in at the goal line. It was a beautiful run.
Who's the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs now replacing Pacheco?
Oh, the white guy.
Steele. So Collinsworth made it a point, him and Chirico said, look how dirty his jersey is. It's like he's playing outdoors. And Collinsworth's like, it's a lot better to see dirt on the front of the jersey than the back of the jersey, because you know he is mauling dudes and trucking dudes and moving forward. So that was just, J.P. Mason had another good game. He's going to get overshadowed. I think he's running hard. He's making some catches out of the backfield. I think J.P. Mason's having an excellent, excellent, excellent start to the season. But when you lose, we don't even, like, people are even nitpicking the lateral at the end of the game. With Brandon Ayuk targeting?
I don't
know. He got smoked on that play. There's no doubt about it. He got smoked, but I get why a referee wouldn't throw a flag on that situation. It's a scramble drill. It's like rugby out there.
Some people say if he catches it, they score. I don't know. I think that's easy to say. I think it's a lot harder to execute. The final play, whatever. It shouldn't have got to that.
No, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't have got to that. And we can nitpick a million different, like the third down drop from Ayuk early in the game. Yeah. That's so early in the game, it's tough for me to say that's the moment. The one for me is the one before halftime, because it's a turnover, right? It's one thing to allow another player bat the ball out of your hands. All right, 50-50 ball, whatever. I thought it was slightly behind. Maybe he should still make the catch. But the McKivitz sack where he goes right around him and then strips Purdy, that felt like an opportunity to get 3 or 7.
Yeah. You steal the momentum back.
Exactly.
And the Rams were getting the second half kick. But you were able to save, even with that said, Chowski, that was a tough play. But even with that said, in the third quarter, you watch it back, Rams basically punt. Niners get
the
ball.
They got stops.
They got stops. And the Niners go on this 11-play, 91-yard drive. That took nearly 7 minutes off the clock. Look at 11 plays, 91 yards. Juwan Jennings make a play after
Garendo
play.
Garendo actually had some runs.
Garendo had to play. But the Purdy, we haven't even talked about it. Do we have the highlight? Purdy to Jennings for 31-yard? Let me know when you cue that up.
Oh,
let's get
God.
David Frisno real quick. David Frisno real quick, and then we'll cue up that highlight because I want to break that down, because that was a beautiful throw, beautiful route. What up, Dave? Dave, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey.
What's up? What you doing? Is that your kid?
You guys been saying.
Is that your kid?
You guys been saying all day who the fault is, and you're beating around the bush. It's Kyle Shanahan. You want to blame the coordinators? You want to blame poor Bell? You want to blame the special teams? Why not blame the guy who makes those decisions?
Well, you know why? You know, I'm not blaming Shanahan. Let me explain why I'm not blaming Shanahan. When I see 6 drop passes, I see 7 penalties, I see missed tackles, I see these guys not setting the edge, I see lack of effort on pass rushes, it's hard for me to blame a coach who's not suiting up and playing a game. Players play, coaches coach. Players got to freaking execute. Enough with the blaming the head coach for every single loss. He's not playing a damn game. It's the players on the field who are not getting pass rushes. I'm about to lose my mind right now. When he dials up a play to Roddy Bell and he drops it. When guys commit penalties on first downs. Stop blaming the head coach for every damn thing around here.
You gonna let me finish, bro?
Yeah, I'm gonna let you finish right now, Dave. I had to get that off.
Okay. No, I hear you, bro, but he makes those decisions. He's a de facto in charge of this whole franchise. He makes all the decisions. The personnel. The coach's decisions. Ronnie Bell was on the field way more than Callen. Callen had a way better preseason. Everybody can see that. It was his decision to have Bell out in the first place. It's his decision to have McKivitz out there. It's his decision to have Campbell out there. Yeah, you say players got to make plays. Why don't you put the correct players on the field? And also with the whole play, the clock management, that's also been a negative on Shanahan. So, like, we blaming Sorensen. He's the guy that hired Sorensen. And we want to blame him? Like, come on, dude. You guys put him on his pedestal, not me. So he needed to be treated as such.
So you want to – let me ask you. You want Shanahan gone?
No, that's so lame. Stop doing that.
No, you're blaming him. You're saying he's picking everything. It sounds like he's not a great coach.
We're criticizing him. I think we're criticizing him. I think it's different.
No, it's hey, hold him accountable.
Exactly.
Hey, fix it. If he can't fix it, then he has to go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Well, and I would say this, like, to your point, do players have to make plays? Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. You know, Bosa, you need to play better. Okay? Brandon Ayuk, catch the ball. Ronnie Bell, catch the ball. But let me play like the big picture here. Clock management continues to rear its head. Whether we agree, disagree, it seems at the end of the game, there are, even in victories, there are like, wow, there's a lot of things we can nitpick. Now, maybe that's every coach in the league, and I'm just focused on Shanahan. But that he does have control on that. He did hire the DC. He did. And so, yeah, he does need to be held accountable to a degree for that. Special teams, it's been a bugaboo of theirs his entire tenure. Now, they've been decent at times. It's also cost them a lot, right? Three different mistakes on special teams ended up, any one of them could have cost them this game. Penalties. I don't know where I fall down on penalties. Some of these post-snap infractions are just guys who aren't good, which brings me back to personnel. Like, why are we playing, Colt McKivitz at right tackle? You could have invested a pick into a right tackle. You haven't done that, right? And so when we have penalties and when we have big gaffes by specific players, Ronnie Bell, I do question why he's on the roster because he hasn't looked good in preseason to the fans, right? Now, maybe he's doing things in the film room that I don't see, right? The contract holdouts, I don't know how much Kyle has to do with that, but it has leaked over into the regular season, and now it's affecting the team. Right. And whether that's front office, whether that's Kyle, but he's a big part of this organization. So he's not the reason that they're all of these things. But like the totality, somebody's accountable. Yeah, it does come back to the guy running the show.
This is a team-wide loss.
Agreed.
Team-wide loss. Out of all the, and trust me, I've been labeled a Shanahan hater. I 3 years ago, I heard from somebody from the Niners say, man, you got something personal against Shanahan, don't you? I said, no. But if we're going to call him a genius, then we need to hold him accountable and put him on a pedestal. Be a genius then. If you're going to be called a genius, be a genius. And he's not a genius. Nobody's a genius. But yesterday, when I look at that game, and out of all the people to blame, like, sure, Shanahan did hire Sorensen. Sorensen stunk. Sorensen stunk yesterday. But Moody makes a field goal. You're winning. You're going home. McKivitz makes a block. You're going home with a win. You know what I'm saying? Ronnie Brown makes a catch. You're going home with the win. Mustafa, Saubert, they make a tackle. Maybe you're going home with the win. Pressure. Javon Hargrave, hey, get some pressure. Stop the run. Maybe you get a win. Players at the end of the day do have to execute. They have to be. We can't just keep blaming the coach. Going, oh, the coach. He's not missing tackles.
No, but it's
He's not getting called for holding plays. You know what I'm saying? He's not going in for IVs like Mr. Trent Williams. You know what I'm saying? He's not setting the edge on the punt. Like, come on, man. Out of everything to blame yesterday, we're going to go straight to Shanahan. I get it. He's the coach, and he's the lightning rod, and he hasn't won the big game, which is the Super Bowl. But yesterday, when I look at it, players are failing him.
He dialed up, like, for example, one of the best plays of the game, which we haven't even talked about, was the fake toss, fake slant to the throwback over to Jennings, which reminded me very similarly of the Seattle play on Thursday Night Football when Brock went up into Seattle and they did that play to George Kittle over the middle. That was a brilliantly designed
play.
Brilliantly designed play.
Can you play that, Spadone?
Fake it to Mason. Purdy. The shuffle.
That was the jump ball.
That was the jump ball. The Randy Moss one.
He jumped over the guy. That was a great play.
Here's a touchdown.
Five in the pattern. Purdy stepping up. Launching it. Jennings again. A three. Touchdown performance. The day of his NFL life.
That wasn't it either.
Oh, my God.
That was the rollout.
Are we looking at the first one or the second one? Just tell me which number.
It was the first touchdown to Jennings.
The first of his career.
Brilliantly designed play.
But the route by Juwan Jennings, the safety, and Mark Sanchez highlighted it, the safety was playing on Juwan Jennings. They were sitting on the out, the quick out, because Purdy was killing them with the out routes and the slants, and the safety jumps the out route, and Jennings just turns it up on a beautiful route.
It was beautiful.
Purdy throws it right in stride, a beautiful spiral, 31-yard touchdown. It's 21-7, and I'm thinking order has been restored. Order's been restored. Niners are up 21-7. 11 plays, 91 yards. But what do the Rams do? Kind of like we talk about it in baseball, right? Shutdown innings.
Yes.
The score, you don't get the shutdown inning. All of a sudden, the momentum goes back into the other clubhouse. Well, the Rams, to their credit, get the ball down 21-7, and they go right back down the field in six plays of 70 yards. Six plays, 70 yards, touchdown. And all of a sudden, it's 21-14 again. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this game so damn close? Now, you had to pass interference for 48 yards on a deep shot. Isaac Yiadom, he gets called for pass interference. And it flips the momentum again, just like that. And it came out, Nate, it was desperate, too. It was first, think about that, first and 15 at their own 25-yard line. Niner fans are barking at SoFi. You can hear them through the TV screen. 21-7, everybody smelling blood. Put the Rams away, drop it at 0-3. Stafford drops back, deep shot to 2-2 Atwell, 48-yard pass interference. And then it's like, here we go again. So to Dave and Fristo, I like Dave because he calls us a lot, and I like Dave. I don't want to get on this bumper. But players got to make plays. You get called for a 48-yard penalty. Is that on Shanahan? Or is it on, well, let me guess, Shanahan picks the players to play? Isaac Adams got to make a play.
Well, he does, but has third corner, has third corner been a problem for the Niners for a couple years?
Well, it seems like they do miss K'Wan Williams.
Now,
and
K'Wan
Williams wasn't healthy at the end of it, but K'Wan Williams was a very good nickel corner.
Maybe the argument is, Joe, there's no good three cornerbacks in the league, which right. I'll listen to. Okay, that's a fair rebuttal. Like, how many teams have three really good? It's like saying, how many teams have five great offensive linemen? Not many, right? If any. I don't know how many teams have three great DBs, but I do know that third DB has been a big problem for them. So we could argue about how much control he has on that. Right. But like spending a third round pick on the kicker, that's every time, and it's fair or not, every time Moody misses a kick, that gets brought back up by a lot of fans. Like, oh, you spent a third rounder on him, right? And it's hard to defend that when he misses a kick. But like, again, Justin Tucker, yeah, one of the best kickers of all time, is having a bad year.
Yeah, he's missing a lot of kicks.
He's having a bad year. Maybe he's on the decline. I don't know. Kickers go in and out. The penalties, to me, it's not like team-wide, like 11 penalties for 200 yards. Right. They're not that undisciplined. It's the situational penalties where what I call great coaching, McVay and Kevin O'Connell identifying weaknesses in your defense, we are going to attack Devondre Campbell and Yiadom.
Which I would like to see Shanahan do more of. Attack teams' weaknesses. There's a lot of weaknesses on that Rams defense. Keep attacking it. Keep attacking it. But at the same time, players have to make – you get six drop passes in a game where Brock Purdy has been excellent with his accuracy, with his scrambling, with his pocket presence. Guys let him down. Guys didn't make plays when you needed to make the plays. Let's go to Leland in the 916.
What's up, Leland?
He's been on hold for a while. What's up, Leland?
Hey, good morning, guys. A lot of passion today, and I appreciate it. You know, there's two arguments that you guys are hitting right on the head. First of all, let me say, totally agree with you that coaches do not play. They don't execute. Players do. I get it 100%. But the focus of my argument today really is going to be on Nick Sorensen and on one specific play to Tutu Atwell. How did they get that open over the top? Charvarius Ward was the defender, and if you go back and look at the replay, he had a 2.5-step lead on Charvarius Ward. Mm. That can't happen. You know, all throughout the conversation, we're like looking at a lot of the holes in the Swiss cheese, you know, the left guard, the right tackle, subpar performances of the defensive line. And there's like key moments in third quarter, fourth quarter, that if something, one little thing would have turned out different, that could have, you know, affected the outcome. But my biggest complaint as a fan is that Nick Sorensen, I think, is lost. He doesn't know how to adapt. If you look at the what the Rams did, they held him for the first two drives, and then from the rest of the game on, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, they earned their 27 points. Nick Sorensen doesn't know what to do. He cannot adapt. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Good call. Go ahead,
the
Justin.
Adapting is very interesting because I thought that McVay, what he realized was like, oh, you guys are going to play man on us? Well, we're going to do a bunch of bunch formations, meaning having multiple wide receivers playing very tightly on each other, and we're going to run a bunch of rub routes and crossers because we don't think that any of your DBs can run with Tutu Atwell. Not that Tutu Atwell is some genetic freak, but he's fast.
Speed, though. He's got speed.
But that's playing to a guy's strength, right? You're playing to a strength. What's crazy to me is that I thought that McVay adapted really well. Kyle came came out and the game plan was brilliant. I mean, I'm looking, look how many yellows. Yellows are good. Look how many great plays early on. They marched right down the field. Brilliant play call to get them seven, go up 7-0. And then the second drive was like, it was perfect. It was a great drive. And there were some bad throws from Purdy on that drive. But Purdy dime. I'm looking at a pick play.
I charted every one of Purdy's throws yesterday. And in parentheses, I'm like, great play design.
Yes.
Perfect throw. Pocket presence. Great catch. But to your point about McVay adjusting, they came into the game and they threw up the graphic early that the Rams had played in 11 personnel 100% of the time this season. One running back, one tight end, three wide receivers.
Yeah.
They adjusted and went to a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends, one running back, and two wide receivers. And they committed to the run game. And they got adjust, and they adjusted very, very well to what Kyle Shanahan and company were doing defensively.
It just felt like after the Niners' third drive, when Purdy rolled right and threw the ball to Ayuk and it got dislodged by White.
By Tre'Davious White.
It's a 50-50
It's a 50-50. I gave the credit to the DB on that one, but I understand why fans will come down Ayuk's road, because when you hold in and you get all the money and you want to get paid like a top five, top 10 wide receiver, those are plays fans expect you to make. And 100%. There's too many plays that's been 50-50 that Ayuk hasn't made so far in the first 3 weeks of the season. So I get why fans want to get on Ayuk.
But that drive right there, this was where the game flipped. They got this crosser on a first down on 3rd and 8, all right? Then you get the intentional grounding from Stafford. It's 2nd and forever.
I know.
And they chip away. They get down to 4th and 6, and they run that fake punt. And from that moment on, it just felt like, oh, my God, we're going to be killing ourselves for not getting that field goal attempt at minimum on that third drive. And it sucks because it felt like you were chasing the missed points the entire time.
Even on that fake punt, D. Witters got hurt on the play. That's when he got hurt with the ankle injury. But the direct snap on 4th and 6, and they were just going over it.
It's just,
like Mark Sanchez was talking about the play, like, oh, so man, bad. You hold him out. And then it goes fake.
I know.
And it's fake. And they get around the left end. It's just unbelievable how that could flip. And they end up, again, that was a 16-play, 87-yard drive that ate up nearly 8 minutes and sucked the life out of the Niners' offense.
And the way Kyren scored that touchdown, flipping over the defender, was pretty sick.
How about this one?
It was incredible. He jumped in the air and did a full flip.
Well, he did the Texas ride against Devondre Campbell.
That was a great throw by Stafford.
6-5-0. We had to discuss this. Before we go back out to the lines, we're going to go to Alex in Atlanta next. So we got everybody. The heavy hitters are out today. 650 Xfinity Mobile text line. With 2:47 left in the game, Niners up 24-17. I hadn't thought about this. Why does Shanahan go a 455-yard field goal? They punt, pit inside the 10-yard line. The game is over. Now, that's counting on Wisnowski to pit up inside the 10-yard line. But I understand that philosophy.
So that whole drive, the plays leading up to that, Garendo going out of bounds and getting the penalty, the clock was stopping. It was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like, I hear you on that one. I thought you drafted Moody. So this is how I view
it. To make those kicks.
To make a 55-yarder.
And
that's why
distance.
Robbie Gould isn't on this team.
Right.
And give Purdy credit. He scrambled to give you an opportunity to get that field goal.
He's got
to
make that kick. He's got to make the kick.
I'm kind of with you.
He's got to make the kick.
Can we also acknowledge 55's not, I don't, what do you think the percentage is?
Hey,
I don't even know. What is the percentage?
It's well, for Harrison Buckner, it feels like 100%,
but for average kicker, it's
low. It's, the 55's a tough kick.
I don't know what the numbers are.
55's a tough kick. 55's a tough kick. I don't care what the numbers are, Shasky. 55 is 55.
But that is a
That's
good
a long
point.
Field goal.
That is a good point that I hadn't thought of, because you get the ball to 45. 45.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. This guy, 650, makes a good point
there.
I hadn't thought about it.
It's a good point. But right tackle, one last thing. I'm watching this game, and as Trent Williams goes out of it, and then you got Jalen Moore in there for just a couple plays, can you get me David Bakhtiari? Can someone sign the man? I'm watching Judon. You didn't make a move for another defensive end, and he's making plays for Atlanta. The right tackle spot will rear its ugly head and sabotage another drive somewhere soon.
Is Bakhtiari any good anymore?
I don't even know, but
because
I know
Kansas
ain't great. Because
Kansas City needs a right tackle. They need tackles. Don't you think Kansas...
Bench the rook.
You know, I don't know if Bakhtiari's any good anymore. I don't know if he's gotten any juice left.
I mean, we were crushing two guys that are literally coming off the street, and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, and now you're bringing David Bakhtiari, who's also coming off the street. I don't know what shape he's in.
That's a problem.
Really quick, he's played 13 games over the last three seasons.
Yeah, I don't know how good he is.
Do you trust Jalen Moore at all?
Look, man, they made enough plays to win a damn game yesterday. They got flaws. I'm sure Kansas City doesn't trust their left tackles.
I hate them.
They're going to figure it out. They look sick in the all-white,
though. I turned that game off. I was like, I hate you.
I watched entire game.
No-call DPI that time, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
But they figure out ways to win those games.
Did you see the uniforms difference. For the referees that are going to get unveiled?
No. What uniforms?
Oh, they're red and yellow. They're chief color jerseys for the refs. I don't know if you noticed that.
That's a three.
I hate them.
They didn't get, but the Falcons were getting some calls yesterday. Falcons are getting some calls on Sunday football.
Kirk Cousins, not enough.
Alex in Atlanta, the unofficial statistician of the morning roast. Alex, the floor is yours.
All right. First of all, gentlemen, I got to agree with Joe Shasky's point on the whole time management thing in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Fonte, I get it. If Ronnie Bell catches that ball, we're not even talking about this. But in terms of percentages, I always lean towards the side of playing the percentages.
I don't follow spreadsheets.
Completely get that. I understand. I mean, just because something happens outside the realm of, you know, probability, you know, you run into confirmation bias at that point. But that aside, I agree with Shasky's point, too, that you can't always expect someone to make a 55-yard kick on the road. I mean, Jake Moody made a 55-yarder in the Super Bowl last year, and that was a Super Bowl record. You can't expect those to happen every game. I get it. That's why you drafted him. But I would imagine the percentages of making that type of kick on the road are probably just a little bit better than a coin flip. So not going to blame him on that. The biggest thing I took away from yesterday's game was actually in the press conference after the game. And it was very telling to me how Brock Purdy handles questions in a press conference where he feels like he takes on more accountability than he should. And then when I hear answers from Kyle Shanahan, it seems at times, and I go back to the Steve Wilkes situation last year, where he doesn't take as much accountability as he should for bad decision-making. I know it's a team sport. Players got to make plays. I'm not trying to blame Kyle for the loss in particular, but I'd like to see a little bit more personal accountability from him on decision-making moving forward for the team. That's all I got.
It's interesting because, you know, my takeaway from this game, even though it's a loss, how could you not feel better about Purdy? Like, even if you're like a skeptical Purdy fan, which is fair, I get it. Like, he's never won the big one. How could you watch that game and he made throw, after scramble, after scramble, after slide, and like evaded so much pressure and still be like, yeah, I just don't know.
Well, not only that, he showed leadership in defending Ronnie Bell. Yesterday, he threw a great deep ball. And so after that game, and you know, I went down a rabbit hole. I was like late now. I was like, I need to go to sleep because I started thinking, what if this team does flame out? Now, we've got a long way to go. But if you do reinvent the team, I now feel comfortable saying, you know what? Build an offense around Brock Purdy and give him some playmakers who can go deep, give him some speed, give him something. Because he was